With the recession looming, you might be afraid of paying prices at the pump. And our next guest in just a moment, Jamie Luce, says that you don't need money, you just need God. Hear what she has to say on the Charisma News podcast right after this message.
Are you seeing your prayers move mountains? Over the course of my life, God has been teaching me how to pray, what to pray, and some of the most crucial elements of prayer that have radically changed my life forever. This is Evangelist Caleb Wampler, and I've decided to put together this into a 7-day free devotional in the hopes that Christians worldwide will see the breakthroughs as I have. To download this free devotional, go to kingdomencounters.us/free. Again, kingdomencounters.us/free.
Well, I want to welcome Jamie Luce to the Charisma News podcast, and we're going to talk about her new book, You Don't Need Money, You Just Need God, A Playbook for Miraculous Provision. Jamie, it's great to have you and to be able to talk about God as the provider.
Thank you, John. It's really a pleasure to be with you today and talk about this subject.
Yeah, as I was looking through your book, you know, the title definitely catches your attention. You don't need money. I mean, let's just talk about that for a second, because, you know, I had to put gas in my car to be able to get here to the studio this morning. And I didn't like seeing those numbers go up and up. So how do we get around if we don't need money? Explain this.
Yeah, that is a wonderful question. And I know it's a really audacious thing to say. But the truth of the matter is, we all, no matter where we fall on a financial line, no matter what our status in life is, if we will be honest about our circumstances, the core of what we need is knowing where to go when the need arises. And we always tend to jump straight to what looks like maybe the obvious answer. I mean, if you live in America, that's, you know, king, money's king. We just think that money's the answer to every problem. And Solomon does say that money answers things. We know that money is an answer.
Sure.
But money is not the answer. Money is not the source. Money doesn't make itself. And we have to understand that our source as believers, regardless of what our need is not money, but it is God. He's the provider. He is the source. He's the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything that is made, everything that we understand and know in this world comes from Him. So it's not, you know, what you know, it's who you know.
Exactly.
Or not what you have, but who you know.
Yeah.
That's really where that title comes from.
And speaking of who you know, God is our provider. How did you, as Jamie Luce and your family, how did you learn how to know God as your provider?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to be raised in a godly home. We've come from kind of a line of what I would call generals in the faith, grandparents and on back, and watching them navigate through, whether it was the Great Depression, whether it was normal circumstance, whether it was such as divorce. My grandmother, my mother's mother, had went through a divorce before that was a common thing. And for her to survive and take care of her children, she had no one to turn to but the Lord. And in that understanding, that mindset, she then taught my mother, when she needed something, even as a little girl, like a pair of shoes, that even though you don't have a natural daddy who will come and take care of you and provide that for you, you have a heavenly Father who can and will. And that message of, when we have a need and we have something that is not just frivolous, because there's things that we want and that we have, we think they're needs and they're just wants, and that's okay too. God provides those too. But when you have a real need, you need gas in the car, you need groceries in the house. I have plenty of wonderful, just what I would call small miracles along the way, where God provided the exact thing I needed. Money wasn't the answer. I didn't necessarily need money to go grocery shopping. I needed food. Well, then the Lord provided food. And we watched as He made Himself known to us by the need that we had. and by the way that he provided. So there's a big difference between having a financial need and actually having your need met. When you look at the children of Israel going through the wilderness, you know, they had all the gold and the silver. What they needed was water.
Yeah.
they needed shelter. And what did God provide for them? Food. He gave them food from heaven when there was no food. For 40 years, he was their provider. He made sure they had water to drink, even if it came straight from a rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, we think we know what we need and how that's going to get provided. But God will then turn around and provide in a way for the actual need in a way we never would have thought or expected. Money's not always the answer.
Money is not always the answer. And, the love of money is the root of all evil, or not the root of all evil, but it's the root of evil. But it's so it's something that we can kind of – a lot of times we equate just money with being something that's evil, but it's actually the love of money. And we pull our attention and our focus away from God as our provider, and that's where the problem really sets in, because we're not looking at him as provider. I was a missionary for 8 years, and I had to live off of faith. So I saw God provide in so many miraculous ways, and I've got so many different stories about that. But, you know, in your adult life, Jamie, how has God provided for you in a way where you can tell me a story about it like that?
Sure. I've got several wonderful ones. I really love to tell the story of getting into my first home. My husband and I, the Lord did a beautiful miracle in bringing our lives together. We had both come from some pretty hard circumstances, and we were setting out, and it was him and I and our my two children that he took on as his own, and we needed a home. And we had been in a rental home for 4 years, which was a miracle in itself. That's another story in the book. But it was time for us to move and find a place to live, because the people who owned the home we were living in were coming back from being out of the country and were going to live in the house. And they literally gave us like 30 days. You've got to find a home. We're coming back.
Oh, wow.
And it was a shock. And I had a newborn at the time. So there were now four children involved in this equation, one of them brand new. And my husband was starting to really see some success in his business, but we were nowhere near where we needed to be yet. And we were still trying to build credit coming out of the circumstances we had come out of. And so we were really needing God to do a miracle. And part of that miracle was in looking for a home. You know, in my upbringing, my mother had taught us not just about going to God with your needs, but there was this process of how do you live spirit-led and then find your way to the thing that God has promised you. Mm-hmm. And part of that journey for me was, Lord, how do I first find out what you have for us? Are you wanting us to go rent a home? Is it time to buy a home? What does that process look like? And so there was always this reliance on the Holy Spirit and in prayer, searching the scriptures. What are you speaking to me right now? Wanting that now word from the Lord. And knowing that both my husband and I felt very strong that the Lord was leading us to buy a home. Hmm. So the natural inclination then is to think, okay, well, this is our first buy as a couple, the first home we're going to buy. And, you know, you find something that you can definitely afford and that's maybe on the more conservative side, because that's where you're starting. Mm-hmm. And when we went looking, the homes that we felt the Lord was leading us to seemed to be far out of our range. I mean, just, Lord, this is crazy. How can we, I mean, this is now, we've been now married 28 years. So this was, you know, 20 years ago, a little more than 20 years ago, 25 years ago now, actually. And the home prices now are crazy. But at that point, the homes we were looking at were like $500,000. Well, that sounds nuts to a couple who hasn't got their credit all in order. And now we live in Southern California, so those prices are really nuts compared to some of the other places in the country. But we literally said, okay, Lord, if this is you, this is going to take a miracle, because we don't have any money. And I'm not exaggerating. There were no dollars saved in the savings account. How do I buy a $500,000 house? And the Lord led us through a process of not only finding the home, but then this is again one of those spirit-led things. I felt the Lord tell me to take, you know, the flyers that you can get when you go see a home. I took the flyer home and I said, Lord, we don't have this money. I feel like you're telling us this is the home, but how do we get this house? And I heard in my spirit so clearly to anoint the home. And my understanding of anointing is that whenever the Lord would anoint something, he was setting it apart for his service. He was saying, this is for me. I've got this and I'm going to use this, and this is going to be for my glory. And so I said, okay, Lord, if you're going to use this in our life, and if this is coming from you, it's going to take you to do it. But I went and grabbed the anointing oil and anointed that paper, as silly as that sounds, and prayed over that every day. Mm-hmm. And the house that I had anointed, the actual picture of the house I anointed, sold. And I thought, Lord, that be? How? This is the house you told me that was mine. I was thrown into confusion. I'm sure we've all been there. You're following the Lord. You're doing what he tells you to do. And something happens that doesn't fit that picture. What do I do now? It seems like everything's changed. And all I could hear in my spirit was, I told you to anoint it. Just keep praying. So again, in our natural mind, we try to make sense of that. And in my natural mind, I kept thinking, well, maybe the people, it'll fall out of escrow, or maybe this family will decide this isn't the house for them. Or maybe the husband's job will relocate and they're going to have to move. And they're, you know, even though they've bought this house, they're moving right back out of this house. And I came up with everything I could think of. And 30 days goes by and we're on the last little leg of us being able to find a place. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that this house is sold. It's closed escrow. And so I, in my confusion, I just said, Lord, I don't understand this, but I trust you. And you said to anoint it. My spirit hasn't let go of this. And I'm sure there's somebody listening today that they've got something that's in their spirit. It's their hope. It's their promise. And I encourage you, don't turn loose of it. If God says it's yours, don't turn loose. And I just kept praying over it, just kept believing the Lord. This is what he said was ours. Well, I got a phone call from our real estate agent saying, Jamie, another house has popped up on the market, and I really think you're going to want to come see this. And I said, okay. So I hopped in my car and went and met him. And as soon as I pulled up to the house, I was confused because this was literally the exact same house, but it was on a different street.
Wow.
It was the same house. And I'm looking at it thinking, but it's better. I mean, even the color scheme was better and there was more parking available for it. And I walked into the house and the carpet was a better color for all of the furniture that we already had. And I opened up the back doors and it was a giant play yard already in place. And I have four kids. And everything you can think of, this house was exactly the house, but better. And I just immediately, my spirit was so full of joy. I called my husband. I said, if you can leave work, you've got to get over here now. And he did. He met me over there. So then it was, okay, now what do we do? And, you know, we know this is the house. God is saying this is the house. Mm-hmm. We still have $0 in the bank. So what do we do about this? You know, and we both felt God said it's ours. So this is our walk of faith. This is our journey. And we called the real estate agent. This is it.
You're going to level up this time and go anoint the actual house at nighttime and not just the piece of paper this time.
You know what, John? I've done that. I've done that now in my life many times. I have actually gone into the front doors of homes and anointed them.
That's amazing.
And claimed the promise of Joshua that wherever my feet go, that's the land God's given to me. I have done that. And so knowing we were doing that with this house, we went ahead and called the agent and we said, we're putting in an offer. And we waited by the phone literally until the call came back and he said, they've accepted your offer. And I'm totally filled with joy and thinking, this is impossible. This is impossible. We've made an offer on a house and we have no money. And my husband works in sales. So he understands and knows what he's going to make, you know, 30 days out. He knows what the next month's paycheck is going to be. And he says, Jamie, I won't have enough. I won't have enough. And we needed $50,000. And he said, the most I'm going to have is $25,000. We're not going to have enough. And I just said, I don't care. God said it. You know it too. That's why you made the phone call. We know God said this. We're just going to believe and see what happens. Literally, John, I am not exaggerating. On the last day of escrow, money has to be over to that office and in their hands by 5 o'clock that day. Mm-hmm. And my husband gets to work that morning, and I'm just praying. I'm just standing and believing God. I don't know how this is going to work. I know this is D-Day for us. And he calls me on the phone and says, Jamie, I just had my check put on my desk. You're not going to believe this. But the check says $50,000 exactly. Wow. To the penny. And I immediately start flipping out. I mean, I'm squealing and jumping and having a praise moment at home. And I said, I don't know what you need to do, but you get that check down to the office because he's saying something's wrong. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. I didn't make this. I don't understand this. I don't care. Get that money down to the escrow office. So he goes down and takes it in. And we were literally loaded in a truck sitting in front of the house waiting for the previous owners to finally get the rest of their stuff out. I mean, we had that weekend jam-packed full. We moved. And on Monday morning, he goes back into the office of the payroll department. Mm-hmm. And says, something doesn't make sense to me. I've got to know what happened here. And she goes back through it. She's looking at it. She looks at it again, looks at it again. She says, Joel, I am so sorry. I don't know how I did this. She says, but I accidentally doubled it. So we had been right all along. We knew what that amount was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And she said, and here was the miracle of the Lord, because if she would have said, we need you to give us that check back, we were wrong. That money's spent.
Yeah.
I would have to another miracle to come up with another $25,000. But she said, I am so sorry that we put you through this, and we want to make it right. So if it's okay with you, how about over the next however long it takes, we just take a little extra from each of your subsequent paychecks until it's paid off. Will that work for you? Mm-hmm. We said, yes, that will work for us.
Wow.
And literally God did it. I mean, and it just, that to me, and that honestly, that story, John, we've got some that are much larger than that. The Lord has provided millions of dollars to buy a company. Wow. We didn't have millions of dollars. And he's done it more than once. And he's just so faithful. No matter what we have need of, God is so personal that whatever we face, he is the answer to mm-hmm. that need. And if he's telling us, I've got it, we can trust him. We can know he's got it. He Absolutely. Really will do what he's promised to do.
I love the little prayer that you prayed in there about halfway through that story. I wrote it down and it said, you said, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. And I think that is one of the key things that we need to really hold on to in our lives today, because, you know, we're hearing threats of the recession, maybe even a depression hitting us again, but we're definitely feeling it at the grocery store and at the gas pump, that, you know, there's financial turmoil. And you're saying that you don't need money, you just need God. And you know, I think your prayer really sums up what our response needs to be is, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. Your book is a playbook for miraculous provision. So what are some steps that people can take, or what are some of those playbook moves that we can actually apply right now?
Yeah, you know, a playbook in sports, people understand that you have kind of in your back pocket, you know what the plays are that you're going to call. You assume you know the opponent enough that you know what you need to do in order to win. And that really was the heart in calling this a playbook and designing it the way that we did, because you come up against a situation and you need to know, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. And so in this particular circumstance that we find ourselves in, it really does depend on your need, of course. But the first thing I would say, no matter what you're facing is the relationship you have with Jesus is the foremost thing that should be in our view. Am I in the Word? Am I taking in his ideas? Am I close enough to his his heart and his voice to know the way that he's leading me. Because half the time, that's the struggle. We just don't know what to do. We're in that place of, okay, Lord, I believe you, but I don't know what the next step to take is. So for me, when buying the house, I felt directed by the Lord to anoint. And that for me was my play call. You said, Lord, okay, anoint this. This is mine. That's where I'm going to believe. That's my place of touching and agreeing. That is my place of faith. And we've seen this so many times. Ministries will use this. We'll say, you know, anoint a healing cloth and lay that on your sick loved one. Well, we're not saying that there's actual healing in a cloth. What we're saying is we believe by faith, based off of what we saw in scripture done before, mm-hmm. that this was a way that God used. It's a point of contact. It's something that we can say, my faith is reaching out and I am touching this. And so we might need gas in the car, and the Lord might direct us to do something in particular for our circumstance. He may show us a direction to go. He may tell us a particular thing to do. He may give us an answer that is, you know, a surprise to us, but it will be the thing that we need. So I wouldn't say that there's a play call that is across the board the same.
Mm-hmm.
Each situation may call for something different, but each one of them, each play call is a spiritual action. It is a spiritual thing we do. We want to bring the supernatural into our natural. So that means I have to do things that are spiritual. It's not always I'm going to get natural results with the natural. Scripture tells us that the flesh gives birth to flesh, mm-hmm. but the spirit gives birth to spirit. And I'm needing heaven to invade my earth. So I use a play call. So that means I get in prayer and I get in the word and I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? It may just be that I'm following a principle of scripture. He may tell me, okay, if you want to see your finances in order, you need to make sure you're in covenant with your finances with me.
Hmm.
Am I tithing? Am I doing what God has asked me to do? Have I planted my seed in the ground so that I have a harvest when I need that harvest to come forth? There is such a power in following what God has given us as, I wouldn't even call them rules. There are laws. You know, there are things that he has set in motion, and they are the same yesterday, today, and forever. They are the way God operates. It is his MO, and he will do it that way every time. And if we will agree with him, if we will believe with him, we get those same results. He's no respecter of persons. So if he did it for someone in scripture, I can say, well, Lord, you did it there. You'll do it for me. If you did it for them, I can have those same results. And that was my heart in the book. I'm just the same as anybody else. I'm like anybody else. There's nothing special about me. So if I had a need and he met my need supernaturally, he will meet your need. But it may take putting a spiritual principle into action. It might actually mean that I have to do what the Bible says do and really live it by faith and know that he will be the answer for me. He is my provision. He is my answer.
Amen. Amen. You know, Jamie, I always find it interesting that, you know, you wrote this book a while ago. How was it that God spoke to you that this is the book that you needed to write? And, you know, what... It seems very pertinent for today. So obviously you heard from God, but just tell me what that was like.
Again, John, this is funny to me, but he will do things. And, you know, we can pay attention to the funny things that happen. I recommend that, actually, because I think that the Lord is clever enough with us to do things that are out of the ordinary to get our attention. And I have my whole life, my aunt, whom I adore, has constantly my whole life told me, Jamie, you need to write a book. I mean, from the time I was young, we'd be talking about something and I would just be sharing with her, whether that was about a situation I was in, even as a teenager, or what I felt the Lord had spoke to my heart, and I'd be sharing it with her. And she just would always say the same thing, Jamie, you need to write a book. So that was always in the back of my mind. She was planting seeds in my spirit for a long time. But a couple of years ago, I had been all of a sudden that it was like coming up in your spirit. I don't know. I'm sure people have experienced this, but it's like something just keeps coming to your mind and you don't know why it just all of a sudden seems to be on your mind. And I went to sit and have lunch one day and I picked up my phone because I was by myself and I was just kind of scrolling, not paying much attention as I was eating. And all of a sudden it was the way that it happens this way with me and it may be with other people too. When you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden it's like everything else goes fuzzy and you just see those words and something just grabs your attention. That word just kind of jumps off the page at you. And this ad kind of popped up and all I saw were the words, "Do you want to be an author?" And I had already been working on something else. And I just kind of chuckled to myself and out loud sitting there, I said, "Yes, yes, I do." And when I did, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "Then press this button." And so I did, just to see what this was, out of curiosity. "Okay, Lord, what is this?" And I pressed the button. And when I did, it took me to this, it's like a group that has a bunch of authors together and they have coaching and different things like that. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that there was a group like that. And I was just not seriously mulling it over, but just thinking about it. And I got back in my car and finished eating and left. And as soon as I get in my car, my phone rings. And I picked up the phone and it's a man from this place. And he says, "Jamie, hi, my name is so-and-so and I'm from such and such. And I just wanted to see if there was any questions I could answer for you. And it looked like you were on the website and ran into an issue and clicked off." And that was funny to me because I knew that's not exactly what happened, mm-hmm. but how did this person call me? Why is this person calling me? And so I had, the Lord had my attention. That's how I would say it. The Lord had my attention. And I talked to him for a little bit, asked him some questions, got some answers and finished that phone call. I was on my way to the grocery store. I get out of the store, out of my car, and I'm walking to the store, and something catches my eye again. And I look down, and it looks like a business card at first, and it's just white in color. And I bend down to pick it up. And when I did, I was shocked at what I read, because the words on this card said "local author." And I opened it thinking, is there a name in this? And it's blank. There's nothing there. It just says "local author." And there's no store around me. There's no stationery store or place because it was actually like a place card. You know, if you were to sit at a dinner table and has your name. So it's a little folded card. And it just said "local author." And I just started laughing. I picked it up and said, "Okay, Lord, I hear you. You're telling me it's time to become this author and write this book." And not really knowing what was coming, obviously, down the pike. You know, a couple of years ago, we had some financial stuff happening in the world, but nothing like what's happening now. And what was rolling over in my spirit, though, at the time was, I have some answers. I have watched God do the miraculous in my life and the family, my family members. And all we are is regular church-going people. We're just living this life believing Jesus. And if God would do this for me, I know that there are others who need to know he'll do it for them too. And it began the journey. God connected me with people. He connected me in places to kind of put that guidance in my life and make sure that I was going in the right direction. But the message was, "Jamie, I've been providing all along, and I'm even providing for you right now the direction you're supposed to take to write this book, who you're supposed to be connected to, the things you're supposed to see and remember. I'm the one showing you." And knowing that he has been that direction all along, that no matter what provision I've needed, he has always been the answer. And it really was the same for this book. He's saying, "Jamie, I am the answer, and people need to know I am still the answer." So that was really what put me on the path to get this book started.
Amen. Amen. And the book is available for pre-order right now. You can go to jamieluce.com, JAIMELUCE.com. And I believe that you have a free download for that, like a preview download, and they can sign up for that.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so I just want to encourage people to check that out. Yeah, one of the chapters is available, so you can take a look at that right now while you're waiting for the full book to come to you if you pre-order on Amazon. But Jamie, before we wrap up here, I want to ask you to pray for our listeners here. And I keep going back to that prayer that you said in that story, that, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. Could you pray for our audience here that no matter what's going on in their lives, that they would be able to lean on God and to be able to trust in Him for that miraculous provision?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful that no matter what life throws at us, you have already paid the price and made available to us the answer, because you are the answer. We don't understand what's happening. So many have been riddled by trouble and trauma over the last few years, and we're even facing new things that continue to come at us, whether that be on our finances or in our health, in our families, in schooling and in ministry. Everything has seemed to change before our eyes. But Lord, you are constant. You never change. You are dependable and faithful, even when the world around us is shaking and changing. So Lord, we don't understand, but we do know that you are good, that you always are our provision, and that you have a way that you want to impart to us. You have an answer, and you are the answer. That no matter what we think we need, Father, we don't need money. We don't need a different government. We don't need a different president. What we need is you, and that you will bring forth the miracles and the answers for our life. We trust you. We put our lives in your hand, and we know that you will be faithful to see us through to victory. You have not put promises in our heart to disappoint us, but you have given us a promise that you intend to make manifest in our life. And we know that as you do, Father, we will be so careful to come back and give you the glory and the praise for all that you have done, and share our stories to encourage others around us. Thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You don't need money, you just need God, a playbook for miraculous provision by Jamie Luce. We've been talking for this episode, and even if you don't understand, just continue to trust in God. Her website is jamieluce.com, JAIMELUCE.com, and she also has the Jamie Luce podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. Jamie, it's a pleasure to be able to talk with you during this episode. Thank you so much for being here on the Charisma News Podcast.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure.
This has been John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.